You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above-and-beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20, code pod20, for 20% off your first product.
As a forward, again, you only need one chance to ruin his 70 minutes. You have to have that mentality all the time. I only need one ball here, you're in trouble again.
The Football Pod is available every Tuesday, exclusively on the OTB Sports app.
Owen, this is your baby, off the back of a piece that we did with Daniel Harris yesterday. There was a big fight in the ad break there. I had to separate Kenny and Owen from when football started. Owen made a wise crack. Kenny did not appreciate it.
No.
By the way, just a note, and everybody watching at home will notice, but when Jer says, this is your baby, he probably thinks that this piece is going to be awful and has already apportioned the blame to somebody else.
Quietly judging you.
So basically a conversation came up in our piece with Daniel Harris yesterday comparing, you know, Harry Maguire to defenders during the Ferguson era, such as Wes Brown, for example, Steve Bruce, for example, Gary Pallister,
William
for
Prunier.
Example. So we decided to do a World Cup of Manchester United defenders in the Alex Ferguson era, basically 90s onwards. I mean, it's post-Paul McGrath, basically, because we all know that Paul McGrath would waltz home with this. So post-Paul McGrath, Manchester United defenders, we've picked an arbitrary enough top 16, last 16 that's called, not necessarily the top 16, and we're going to put them head-to-head until we get Kenny Cunningham's World Cup champion of Manchester United defenders. So our first clash in the last 16 this morning, Kenny, and you can be brief enough with these last 16 games because a couple of them are fairly straightforward. Nemanja Vidic versus Chris Smalling. Who is the better defender? Smalling's still playing.
Now, by the way, we only have like 8 minutes for this, so we don't need...
Okay, so we do need rapid fire then. Yeah. Vidic, okay, Vidic is true. Eric Bailly versus David May.
May.
Stam versus Mikhail Silvestre.
Really? David May ahead of Eric Bailly?
Okay.
Easy.
Stam is in. Wes Brown versus Gary Pallister.
You putting these names up? You're not reacting to what I'm saying. I thought you were going to put the names.
We are. Names. It's going to take.
It's only about 15 letters. I thought you're prolific on the computer. Oh, you can't put the names bloody up. Go on, keep going.
Wes Brown versus Gary Pallister.
Pallister.
No.
Oh.
Easy.
No.
Easy. Just the easiest quiz show I've ever played.
This is a good one. Steve Bruce versus Johnny Evans.
Oh. Force difficult call. Now I'm gonna ask you a question. Are you talking Johnny Evans in terms of the length of his duration of his career, or just that time when he was at Manchester United?
Do you know, to make it more interesting, we can go duration of career.
Who had the better?
Now I actually think you're complicating it.
I know, I'm making it harder on you. Yeah.
Roll back. No, what I would say is I think it was a big mistake Manchester United made letting Johnny Evans go. I thought his partnership with Vidic towards the tail end of Vidic's career there was absolutely outstanding. He was developing into a top class centre-half and should have stayed at Manchester. So I'm going to say that. For the amount of time that he spent there in comparison to Steve Bruce, I'd have to say Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce, okay. So Steve Bruce wins.
I think Johnny Evans is like critically underrated, has had an excellent career.
I don't think he's underrated now. I think people came to appreciate you at Leicester how good that he actually was, but I don't think people knew it. Who's it came? Was it Van Gaal who came in and showed him out the door? He had one injury, I think it was, and he was out quickly. I think it was Van Gaal. I can't remember. I don't think it was David Moyes.
Was it West Brom for £1.5 million?
But it was a massive mistake. Massive mistake. He came to Sunderland when I was there. He was 18. It was my last year in football. Well, I wasn't playing football, to be honest, it was me last year. I don't know what I was playing, but well, it wasn't a game I loved. I was struggling basically, is what I'm saying. He came in on loan. Roy brought him in. And within, I'd say, a week on the training pitch, I thought, wow, this kid just... It's going to be a world beater. I thought he was going to be Manchester United...
captain.
Legend. Yeah, the whole shebang. I think it could have happened for him. Probably think it should have happened for him. Through no fault of his own. Anyway, I'll go with Steve Bruce for the reasons that I'm saying, just restricted to their time at the club.
Harry Maguire versus Laurent Blanc.
Blanc.
Straight away. It's Laurent Blanc at Man United. It's not Laurent Blanc like...
Oh, I'm thinking... No, do you know what? Do you know what I'm going to factor in here?
Yeah.
No, I...
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Laurent Blanc?
I'm just saying. I'm saying Laurent Blanc at Man United was like a husk of a human being. By that stage, he was completely washed up and finished.
That's true. I'm falling for Owens. Yeah, you're right. I'm getting nostalgic. I'm looking at Laurent Blanc at his best. No, I think you're right. And this is Harry Maguire's best, is it? Are we seeing Harry Maguire's best at the moment?
Well, so here's the thing. This is supposed to give us the opportunity to go Harry Maguire versus some of these people. But obviously, and you fix it so he'd win the first one easily. And already we've blown it up.
Now, you're right. He was past his best, Laurent Blanc. But I remember a couple of the lads of United actually talking. I think Roy was one of them, to be fair, not betraying the confidence, saying they love playing with him, Blanc, even at that stage of his career.
Betray and all the confidence you want at this stage. It's over.
And the big thing was he just would always want the ball.
Right.
Always take responsibility, get on the ball and play, kind of real kind of personality, etc. But you're right, he wasn't at his best by the time he went to Manchester United. But I think that's a tough call, even in terms of Harry Maguire.
So we're going Maguire?
I got Blanc.
Okay, so in that case,
if it was Harry Maguire versus Johnny Evans, who are you going?
Oh, Johnny Evans.
Harry Maguire versus Steve Bruce?
Steve Bruce.
Okay.
Harry Maguire versus Wes Brown?
Wes Brown, better defender.
But
he was very limited in terms of ball playing ability and probably needed a big one alongside him because he wasn't as dominant as Harry Maguire in the air, and certainly not in both boxes. But in terms of it, like one-to-one, we're talking about one-to-one, defending your area of the pitch, being isolated and having to deal with Wes Brown all day. So it depends which of those attributes you kind of value more.
I mean, they might have been a reasonable partnership.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Wes Brown might have covered for many of the faults that Harry Maguire has. Like, that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you're bringing in partnerships, then you're, forget it, we don't know where we're heading off and all sorts of directions.
This is already complicated enough as it is. Ronnie Johnson versus Henning Berg.
Johnson.
Oh.
Just.
That's probably a
little bit more rounded.
And then finally into the round of 16. Sorry, Ger.
People are complaining. Wes Brown, what about his cross to Ronaldo in the Champions League final? Head of goal versus Chelsea. That there was enough there to suggest that he had the ball playing ability that Maguire has as well.
Oh, no. He hadn't got the ability to step forward in possession and, you know, break the lines and draw people to him. He wasn't as... I think Maguire is quite exceptional in that respect. I mean, a couple of years ago, you looked at him and probably thought, there's not too many better than him in that respect. That was what everybody was talking about.
It seems to have slowed down. It seems to be very,
probably haven't
very
seen him
telegraphed.
Enough of it. Again, for me, like confidence, that's how confidence gets drained out, it affects every facet of your game. You almost go into your shell a little bit, but he has it in him. He showed it with England, showed it the first year, I'd say, at Manchester United, that kind of those ball carrying qualities which he has. Oh, he's definitely better than Wes Brown in that respect. I'm a massive fan of Wes Brown, but for different reasons.
Victor Lindelof versus Rio Ferdinand is the last clash in our last 16. It's Rio Ferdinand, isn't it? Good thing I've already literally saved in the graphic before we even asked you for that one, so it's such a foregone conclusion. That's how you do. That's how you get ahead of it. So we will hopefully have an updated graphic on screen very shortly, indeed. As we move on to Tommy's got a nicer graphic done than I do, actually. So fair play to him. Okay, quarterfinals. Nemanja Vidic.
We're still going. We're ploughing on.
We are, of course.
All right.
That's how World Cup works.
I thought we were going to park it for a week.
No.
Like FA Cup rounds.
There's just park it for 2 weeks.
There's imminent action.
Six Nations, they have
the random break weeks.
Going straight in. Right, go.
Nemanja Vidic versus David May.
Vidic.
Yap Stam versus Gary Pallister.
Stam.
Steve Bruce versus Laurent Blanc.
Bruce.
Ronnie Johnson versus Rio Ferdinand. Okay, so we've got Ferdinand, Bruce, Stam, Vidic.
Is this because you played under Steve Bruce or something? Did you play under Steve Bruce? You did you?
Oh, he managed me at Birmingham.
Yeah.
Oh, I was always a big fan of him as a player.
Right, okay. He's survived much longer in this bracket than I thought he would. It's like his managerial career. He's still getting gigs.
People underestimate how good he was. He's got that bit of a Wes Brown reputation, you know, basics, head it, kick it, that type of thing. But he was a far better footballer, I think, than some people appreciate. I remember going in at Birmingham, and he would have been maybe 38 when he took on the job up there, and he was carrying a bit of timber even then. He was carrying timber when he finished his career, but he joined in the five-a-sides on a Friday, which wasn't untypical then. Worst thing you could ever do. As a head manager's got away with, I don't know. Mick was the worst.
Kicking players.
Mick McCarty. Mick was a different... Steve wouldn't get around kicking players. Mick was a different beast. But what surprised me was his quality on the ball. In the five or something, he wasn't running past people, dropping a shoulder and going.
No, but
in terms of receiving the ball, working the ball, being cut, you know, actually took me aback.
Right.
How good he was.
He still could have played then at that stage.
No. He could have played five or something. Right. Yeah, he could have played a professional five or something, maybe for the over 35s. But just making the point, he was a better, far better rounded player and far better in possession, maybe. Than some people give him credit for. He played alongside Pallister, and Pallister was perceived to be kind of royalty, wasn't it?
In terms
he glided over the ground, very comfortable on the ball, and he was like stickers. He was the one getting the like 18 stitches across his forehead and stick his head in. He was fearless, wasn't he? Like,
well, Pallister got all the England captain. He never obviously got any.
Yeah, he didn't get any. He was very unfortunate. He was in good company, but I think he was very unfortunate in that respect, probably deserving of more. But he was a very, very good all round player and got everything out of him. What I'd say, I think he got everything out of what he had. In terms of, I wouldn't say natural, maybe Tanny had some real qualities, don't get me wrong, but kind of got the best out of what he had.
What was the crack with Mick and the five-a-sides?
Mick just lamp you.
That was it.
we'd a lad who came down again, up a train confidence. We'd a lad who came down. We took a lad on loan from the Midlands, very good footballer, clever little operator lads. Ooh, a tasty. Ooh, this, he'll help us. Boom, boom, boom. First week training, five-a-side mix involved. They're playing against each other, and this lad, don't talk about self-confidence, this lad had bags of it, and he wasn't like, he hadn't 200 games under his belt just breaking onto the scene, but real quality. Still not going to mention his name. So starts playing up a bit with Mick, because Mick's legs are gone a little bit, as obviously most matches.
Well, what age was he at that age?
Mick was probably the same, 38.
Where's this, Sunderland?
No, this is Millwall.
All
so
right.
The ball's getting played up to him, and he's like dropping it a couple of times, dropped the shot, left Mick a couple of times, and then next time the ball's come up, he's kind of dropped it, put it between his legs, give it the away. took it the other side of Mick. And for us who had a bit of experience with Mick, and those of us who like played along Mick, thought, oh no, you could see it coming. It was like a car crash coming. You thought, oh, next ball. Everybody knew it. And the next ball came to his feet, and Mick just whoosh, cleaned him out from behind. You know, the classic goal.
Oh, yeah.
Tackle
straight
from behind. Yeah, he was out. Session was over. Physio, the whole shebang. And
Did he make it? Did he play again? Did he play for the team?
No, I don't think he did, to be honest. He didn't like, it wasn't kind of A&E or anything like that, but he literally took him out.
You got to know your. In fairness, you got to know the pecking order, and you know, respect your elders.
You just got to know people. Forget about the pecking order.
No people. Yeah, it's good. It's a life lesson there. We do our semi-finals,
and he was the Ireland manager 6 weeks later.
Yeah, semi-finals here. Nemanja Vidic versus Yapstan.
Stam.
Oh, that's a big call.
Two fantastic.
Yeah.
Stam, I played against Stam. There was a period when he played for United over a period of a year or two. Stam, we're talking about breaking players down, strengths, kind of weaknesses, but I couldn't find one in Stam. Vidi, to a small extent, maybe you could argue that kind of ball playing ability, like being with speed. Vidi wasn't slow, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't a speedster either. You could argue at times somebody with real kind of pace who isolated him could get the better of him, and maybe at times if you're nitpicking. Stam for a period of time at Manchester, and I looked at him, and I must have played against him a couple of times and thought, I don't know where you go against. There's nothing there. He was a machine, physically tall. It's like a bodybuilder, wasn't he? But we're talking about Maguire, a weight, just can't carry the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, he was huge, like a cruiserweight boxer, but he could carry the weight and travel at speed as well, dynamic in his movement, everything.
It never made sense. The notion of a falling out with the Neville brothers never made sense for the reason for the transfer. Something else must have happened.
Yeah,
because he was so good. And he was still so wasn't good somebody's for a book. Years
wasn't it? Wasn't an autobiography? And Ferguson took offence.
He wrote a book, and there was some stuff in the, about the.
Oh, that was it about. And he mentioned the referenced the Neville brothers, didn't he? Phil and
busy seas was the phrase he used about them.
Right.
We can't say on a breakfast show, but you know what it is. I don't understand how that would be enough for Ferguson. Like, Ferguson probably thought the same about some of his players. It was like, yeah, they probably are a bit busy, you know, but that's fine. I want them to be. It didn't seem like it was that.
I take your point. I'd be surprised if it was just that, though.
It's an overreaction.
He must have had cover there. He must have felt there was a sense of there's something coming down that I'll just preempt it. This is going to happen anyway. There's a natural evolution. He's going to go. Because you're right, because at the level he was at, he was. You couldn't get near him. You couldn't touch him. He was an absolute animal. And I don't mean animal in terms of totally out of control, you know, kicking people.
No, he was
totally controlled, playing at...
He was a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was fearsome.
It's far from an exact science, but Jaap Stam came in at 12th in the Ballon d'Or voting in 99. Vidic was at 16 in the 2009 Ballon d'Or voting, so... Yeah, that justifies your selection.
Oh, there's very little between them. Yeah. Both of them outstanding.
So Stam gets into the final, and then the other semi-final is Steve Bruce against Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, I've got to give it to Ferdinand.
Right.
Yeah, I've got to give it to Ferdinand just as... Yeah, it's all-round game. He's Rolls-Royce, Ferdinand. I'm tempted to kind of... Almost didn't want him to involve himself in certain aspects of the game, like some of those centre halves there, Wes Brown, Steve Bruce, roll the sleeves up in the trenches, lads. Kind of here we go. Ferdinand almost took a step back and kind of took a step around that. Mm. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, but he almost didn't need to, because his movement, athlete, and he was a very good reader of the game. You know, he stayed on his feet a lot of the time, and you know, knock a pass, but you can't run me. You know, that type of thing. Read the game well, and again, probably be ahead of his time in terms of his ability with the ball at his feet. Probably could have played, midfield for other clubs and stuff. But he was there. I'd have to say Ferdinand.
You've created a tricky final for yourself. So Jaap Stam against Rio Ferdinand.
Do you know what? Yeah, I wouldn't have automatically. Stam, you know, at the onset, but yeah, I have to put him there in terms of what you've put in front of me, so that's tough.
Yeah,
I think this is where the argument comes in. You know, you pick Ferdinand, who you're playing alongside him, because it's all about partnerships, isn't it, for me, particularly at centre half, probably as opposed to any other position. You know, centre midfield partnerships, okay, centre forward partnerships to an extent. But that centre half partnership, in terms of how they complement each other, you know, how they work together, dynamic is absolutely huge in terms of how good that they are. So I think this is an example where if you choose, it almost has to be who do you put in alongside them. But I think at their very best, if you're saying at their very best, Ferdinand longer at Manchester, I wouldn't give it to Ferdinand because he was there long. That's pretty weak. He was there longer at Manchester United, you know, higher level of consistency during the time was there. Stam wasn't there. As long, but I think when they're both at their best at Manchester United, it'd be interesting if you spoke to forwards who played against them, centre forwards at their peak, and you asked some of the best centre forwards who would have troubled you more, who would you have struggled up against, who would you have peeled on basically during the game, and you looked at both of them centre half, Stam at his prime and Ferdinand, who would you have thought I'd peel on him off his shoulder, I might have half a chance against this fella. That's a tough call. I might go with Stam.
Stam as the winner, or Stam as the person you're peeling off?
No, as the winner.
The winner, okay. Yep, Stam is your winner. There he is in all his shining glory on screen.
That's from the Champions League final in 99, obviously.
Well done. A good World Cup. Well completed. Yep, Stam a worthy winner, I think.
Not going to be popular, is it? Shock.
I don't know about that.
It's not one that would have jumped. If you put people on the spot and ask them that question, have to think on their feet, I'd imagine very low percentage. I'm actually a little bit surprised myself that I put up there.
Well, there you go.
You with me on that one?
Ferdinand had 12 years at United.
Yeah, so I'm taking that longevity thing out, Jer.
Yeah.
I always think that's a little bit weak, you know what I mean?
Well, I would agree with you in some instances.
It can't be the overriding factor.
To be at the club for so long... Oh. Where there's competition,
yeah. But you've just made the counter argument for me. Why Stam didn't leave there because he was on the slide.
No, it doesn't make, or he doesn't make any
dropping,
sense.
He was dropping out. You know what I mean?
It just doesn't make any sense.
So I don't think you can. I don't think you can factor that into the argument. Some people
Nevilles
would.
Aren't so precious that they can't stand up for themselves. They could have just had it out.
Let's do them.
It doesn't make any sense. Exactly. They could have tag teamed him, had a row, and moved on.
Well, I think you're right. Considering how, say, someone like the likes of Cantona was dealt with there, and everybody's spoken about it there who played with Cantona, even Ferguson himself, long to himself, lads all suited and booted, he'd roll in with his, you know,
white,
open
ruffled. Yeah, that was the famous one.
Exactly, yeah, all that type of thing. And people would suck that up. They suffered it because, well, it was Eric, we know the qualities that he has, he makes us better. Well, I think you could make that argument for a Stam as well. On the opposite end of the pitch at that time when he was at his very best.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think that'd probably always be a small mystery.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one size fits all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Land's End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.